Greetings to you, church, on this Memorial Day weekend. And as we settle in to start a new little, a few weeks dealing with waiting. And we're specifically going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 40 for these next weeks. And I hope that you'll turn even now. We'll be looking at the CSV, the Christian Standard Version, this morning as we read. And for those of you that joined us early, you heard a slow voice reading that, and I apologize about the tenor perhaps, that some of us are very familiar with that voice, and others are probably not quite so akin to that. So this time it will be me reading it, and I wish that you would read along. The words will be back here behind me, and as we get going, let's settle in to hear the word of the Lord. Chapter 40, God's people comforted. Verse 1, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and announce to her that her time of hard service is over. Her iniquity has been pardoned, and she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. A voice of one crying out, prepare the way of the Lord in the wilderness. Make a straight highway for our God in the desert. Every valley will be lifted up, and every mountain and hill will be leveled, and the uneven ground will become smooth, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will appear, and all humanity together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice was saying, cry out! Another said, what shall I cry out? All humanity is grass, and all its goodness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fade, when the breath of the Lord blows upon them. Indeed, the people are as grass. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Zion, herald of good news, go up on a high mountain. Jerusalem, herald of good news, raise your voice loudly, raise it, and do not be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with strength, and his power establishes his rule. His wages are with him, and his reward accompanies him. He protects his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them in the fold of his garment. He gently leads those that are nursing. Who has measured the waters of the hollow of his hand, or marked off the heavens with the span of his hand? Who has gathered the dust of earth in a measure, or weighed the mountains on the balance and the hills on the scales? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or has given him counsel? Who did he consult? Who gave him understanding, and who taught him the paths of justice? Who taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Look! The nations are like a drop in a bucket, and they are considered as a speck of dust on the scales. He lifts up the islands like the dust, the fine dust. Lebanon cedars are not enough for fuel, or its animals enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are considered by him as empty nothingness. With whom will you compare God? What likeness will you set up for comparison with him? An idol? Something that a smelter casts and a metal worker plates with gold and makes silver chains for? A poor person contributes wood for a pedestal that will not rot. He looks for a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that will not fall over. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not considered the foundation of the earth? God is enthroned above the circle of the earth. Its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a cloth and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He reduces princes to nothing and makes judges of the earth like a wasteland. They are barely planted, barely sown. Their stem hardly takes root in the ground when he blows on them, and they wither, and a whirlwind carries them away like stubble. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Asked the Holy One. Look up and see. Who created these? He brings out the skies by number, the stars by number, and he calls all of them by name. Because his great power and strength, not one of them is missing. Jacob, why do you say, and Israel, why do you assert, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my claim is ignored by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary. There is no limit to his understanding. He gives strength to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Youths will become faint and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength, and they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary, and they will walk and they will not faint. Lord God, we thank you for your word that is enduring for all of times. It will not fade. It will not be tattered. It will not be ignored for long, in fact. For your word endures forever. May it do so within our hearts, Lord God, that you may have your way in us, your church. Oh God, we pray that you teach us to wait upon you. And Lord God, we pray for your comfort today. We pray that you minister to us your comfort, the comfort of your people. Bless this time now in the name and the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 So that's a great, great passage, is it not? I know that you are back there. If you've been listening and tuning in during that time, Isaiah chapter 40, what passage is like that? It's just an incredible, it goes from just this concept of comfort. And it talks about the Messiah in there. It talks about God's sovereignty and power. And it talks about him strengthening and renewing and empowering us, his people. And throughout all this, and this is what we're going to be talking about these next weeks, the waiting upon. You know, the waiting is a difficult thing for us. We don't like to wait. My children certainly don't like to wait. My little ones especially. They have to be trained and tutored in how to wait for their mom while she's talking to give them a listening ear, right? The waiting is difficult. This time that we are in now, waiting is difficult. And with that, we are going to be speaking to this point that God calls us to be a people of waiting. A people who are willing to rest in the purposes that God would have for us. But we're not going to be looking at all of these various things. We are going to be specifically looking at the very first two verses of Isaiah chapter 40 today. And in so doing, I want to direct your attention to the concept of waiting for comfort. Now, waiting that we talk about in changing up, here we go. The waiting that we're talking about is not a wishful thinking. We've talked about this back when we spoke on the Psalms and earlier this year. Our waiting, our hope is not a wishful thought or desire, but rather it is a certain hope. It is a certainty that God is going to show up the way he says he's going to show up. That he is going to be our guide and our rest and our hope. Look at this, once again, in Psalm chapter 62, verse 5 through 8. Rest in God alone, my soul, O my soul, for my hope, my expectation, that is, comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be shaken. My salvation and glory depend on God, my strong rock, my refuge is in God. This is the kind of waiting that we are talking about. This reality that the psalmist had here, and that his rest and his expectation, his hope is in not some whimsical thought, not in some wishful thinking, but in the certainty of his salvation, his rock. He will not be shaken. And so where this is the kind of dependency that we are talking about. Now, let me give you a little bit of an example of this and something that has happened in the Napoli family in this past week. I have several daughters, but I have my third daughter, Nicoletta. She loves when we talk about her because she She feels like she never gets spoken on that. She really does. So she has a year ago, she received for her birthday from me, actually, not just one, but three little bunnies. They're little Havana bunnies. They're really sweet and really cute. And a year ago, one was a male and there were two females. And then we had another female rabbit already. And so for a year, these bunnies have matured. And then as it goes, about 6 weeks ago, we paired them up. That one boy was very busy. And we had a bunch of pregnant bunnies. And so 6 weeks ago, this started and we started the countdown. And we put it on the calendar and the anticipation was mounting. And then about a week ago or so, there was a different Nicoletta in the house. She would get up early in the morning, and whereas I would typically have to say, "Nicoletta, have you fed the bunnies?" I didn't have to ask her. She was out there every morning, very, very quickly, listening to see and looking through the straw and the hay there. Perhaps the babies were born. She was anticipating the birth of these bunnies. And at nighttime, I didn't have to say, "Did you close down the door to the garage, or did you check in on the bunny?" As always, she was there without any qualification, without any need for me to say anything about it. And this is the expectation and the desire. And what happens? Okay, there you go. This is what happened just this past week. These sweet little bunnies, I'm not sure if you can make that out, in the palm of her hand. We have something like 20 of these things now, as it turns out. And as it is, Nicoletta is a very happy little grandma. And she has cared and tended for these bunnies. And when something goes awry, when one of them scoots out of the nest or something like that, she's there to prop them back up into the nest. And so this is the expectation. This is the waiting that we are talking about. As far as a little bit of a background to the situation in Isaiah chapter 40, let's just finish out this first part of our talk with just looking at a little bit about the kingdom. Now, the kingdom of Israel up there in the north was just about to fall to its doom during the days of Isaiah. The kingdom of Israel was going to be swept away by the Assyrian Empire. You can see the Assyrian Empire up here, kind of circles in and takes over huge swaths of this map, okay? And the northern kingdom is going to be swept away into captivity in Assyria. Now, in the days of Isaiah, in chapter 40 and thereabouts, we're talking about the southern kingdom. And Isaiah is a prophet to the southern kingdom and its kings. And if you know much about the book of Isaiah, it has 66 chapters. And some of you are familiar with the fact that this is a very unique book in the fact that the first 39 chapters are very significantly similar to the first 39 books of the Bible, which is the Old Testament. And Isaiah, in the first 39 chapters, speaks of great devastation and travesty and doom upon basically all the nations that you see on this map, including the northern kingdom, including the southern kingdom. And that because of their abuse and decision to go against God, they were going to reap the repercussions. But when Isaiah is speaking now to the southern kingdom, you see in chapter 40, we have a very different connotation. We have a very different context. It is as though we are looking past the days of Isaiah, past the 70 years of Babylonian captivity, and now we are looking at a comforting word of the Lord speaking back into the heart of his people. And so with that, that is the context, and that is where we're going to start when we look at these first two verses of Isaiah chapter 40 in just a few minutes. But for now, we're going to turn it back to my ladies over here, and they're going to continue on with leading us in worship. Good morning again. As we look at waiting on comfort from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. Comfort, comfort my people, says our God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and announce to her that her time of forced labor is over. Her iniquity has been pardoned, and she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. Certainly, this is a word of encouragement to us today, as many of us today are looking for comfort. And yet, it means so much different stuff to each of us this morning. And certainly means differently to us than it did to the people of Israel back in the days of Isaiah. And so we look at this waiting, and I have to say, there's a perspective that we have to bring to it. For the people of Israel, comfort, comfort, what was it that was their cry? Oh God, we have been in exile. Now Isaiah, speaking in 700 B.C., is looking past the Babylonian captivity, and he's seeing the people coming out. And now they're saying, comfort, comfort. Well, we know what's going on here. Well, after the Babylonian captivity, we know that the walls of Jerusalem have been torn down. The place of Jerusalem is a shambles. And they are crying out to God, comfort us, O God. Today, as we think about the comfort that is needed in our world, it is distinct and it is drastic, it is dire. Comfort in our lives today is something that we all desire, and in various ways, in various forms. And I think that we have to understand, and I think it's right for the people of God to set back and to realize that comfort today means different for different people. If we look at a person born in 1900, the concept of comfort would be extremely different than what ours is today. I've said this to some of you, I've seen this recently. A person who was born in 1900, by the time they were 14, World War I was going to strip away 20 million lives from the earth, just in the war itself. Followed very hard and fast upon a Great Depression, which was going to take even more people's lives. Revolutions and revolts were going to take many, many more hundreds of thousands of people before we even get to World War II in 1939. And the World War II is going to strip away 50 million lives just right there and then. An incredible amount. Comfort, oh comfort, can you imagine what was going on in the minds of the people in 1945, 1946? Can you imagine the Jews who are there in the internment camps and in the work and labor camps and in Auschwitz? Comfort, oh comfort, can you imagine these words come from Isaiah that would be spilling off their lips? It meant something very different to them. Their lives were in dire danger. Some were revolting, some were being thrown into ovens, and the difficulties were mounting up. Once you leave World War II, you look at, beyond that, you look at the revolutions and the leaders and the tyrants of our day in the mid-1900s, you are talking another 40, 50 million people being put to death by their own governments. Does that even start to talk about the millions, 5 more million that are going to die in Korea? Or by the time that person born in 1900, if they were to make it to 1960s, which would be pretty typical, they are still going to live through 20 years of war in Vietnam, and where tens of thousands of men were going to be dying and also maimed and sent home. Does this even start to hear the cry of the vast numbers of people who have died in famine across this world and are crying out this day, even today, comfort, oh God, remember us in our difficulty, comfort. I look at it and I think about my brother Robert, who day by day is trying to feed his family there in Uganda, and COVID-19 has struck that country as it has in many other places, and it is stripping lives away, and famine is great. Food is difficult to get a hold of. Comfort, oh comfort. Robert has a sick wife and a sick child this day. And he looks to the heavens and he says, comfort, oh God. Pray for us. Let's pray for the comfort of our world. Our Father God, this day we hear your words. And you say, comfort for my people. And we cry out, comfort. Oh, comfort our God. Hear the heart cry of our nation. Hear the heart cry of our people around this world, and our friends and our distant loved ones, Lord God. Bring healing. Bring nutrition. Oh God, that you may have your way in us, that you would drive us deeper into your heart, that we may be people that not only cry out for comfort, that run to comfort those in need. We ask this in your name. Amen. And still, we are not even to the point where we talk about the complexities of asking, what does comfort look like for us as the Church of God here at Amherst or round about? Some people think that, and this is not incorrect, some people's comfort is found in we must stay distant, we must remain apart from each other. And other people's comfort is very distinctly opposite of that, and saying we must come together. And we can't look at one or the other and say, hey, you know what, your desire for comfort is needless, or yours, it's invalid. No, on the very opposite of that, God calls his people to love one another, consider others as better than yourself. And so for those who are dire to stay away and stay distant because of health issues or health concerns, then we say, as the people of God, we lift you up, and we pray for you, and we join you to the very graces of God. And for those who are just desperately in need of getting back to work or in trying to get their lives back on path and trying to make a living, and we hear about all these stories, and we say we have to pray for them in the same grace and the same hope that we have for the others. There are three things here in these two verses that we will cover very quickly here. Three things that we look to, that we wait for in the comfort of God. And we'll see that these three things, kindness, peace, and pardon, can all be found in these first verses of chapter 40. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and announce to her that her time of forced labor is over. Her iniquity has been pardoned, and she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. Kindness, peace, and pardon. Comfort, oh comfort, our God. From where does your help come from? Well, we know Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My hope, my help comes from who? From the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. It's his kindness, it's his peace, and it's his pardon that will truly bring us comfort to our hearts today. So let's dive in just a little bit deeper, and let's see what kindness has to do about anything. First of all, this word, speak tenderly to Jerusalem. That's the one in the CSV here. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. That's the word of kindness. When you saw that little, the hand of my daughter just holding that little bunny in her hand, there's a tenderness there. It's difficult not to be tender with babies. And when we see the people not being tender and careful with the little ones, our bodies, we are concerned about that. And we get very upset about the lack of tenderness towards little ones like that. And God looks to his people and he says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Now, they've been sent away, not in the timeline of Isaiah, but in the future thinking of Isaiah. They've been sent away to Babylonian captivity that has been promised them in previous chapters. Now they have been returned, and God is calling out for them to be treated with tenderness and with care. Look at what kindness does. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it says, God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. Now, we're going to see now, we've already read this a couple times today throughout this entire chapter, and we can see that even though God's grace and compassion and tenderness is towards his people and his desire to renew and to bring them back up, you see in the middle section here, we see that there's still issues. They're still the very same issues that sent them off to Babylonian captivity. They are still having problems with now. And that is that they are people who love idolatry. They're struggling, even at this time. Now, this is Isaiah, perhaps writing this in 700 year BC. And looking back through, and it's difficult for us to understand exactly what the connotation is here, but as you read it down through here, we have this great tenderness followed by a call away from idolatry, called to a call upon seeing who God and his sovereignty is, and ultimately, at the end, wait upon God, for he is your strength. And so as we look at kindness, and how the kindness of God draws his people into repentance. He draws the people of the world into a desire for him. It is not his harsh judgment that draws us into repentance. It is his loving kindness, his hesed love for us, his desire to see the best for us. And so what does this mean to you? What difference does this mean to you? Well, you're looking for deeper involvement in the Spirit of God. The question is, how are you holding on fast to the kindness of God? For that is your first line of comfort. His tenderness towards you. Do not forget it. And for those that have not received Jesus Christ into your Lord, as your Lord and Savior, into your very lives, then the issue is this, that you have not seen the very kindnesses of God and how it calls you into a place of repentance. Call to him. Humble yourself. Call out to the Lord to comfort you and bring his salvation into your life. You need him. We need him. The people of God know God in his tenderness and kindness and his grace towards us. Secondly, we see the call to peace. Announce to her that her time, in my version it says, forced labor is over. And I see, I'm not sure if you can pull in on this picture a little bit here. These are the boys, the Marines, that went into Guadalcanal. Not too long ago, actually back in about, I should say, just a few days ago, in 1944. My grandfather, Samuel, was not in this picture. He was in the Army. This is the Marines. But he spoke to me about his time there in Guadalcanal. It was really the Americans' first real experience with jungle warfare. And it was a horrific, horrific battle. The loss of life was extreme on both sides, both the Americans and the Japanese. And today, I think it's very appropriate for us to remember as we memorialize those who have lost their lives and the tens of thousands of Americans who gave their lives up in this and many other battles around in the Pacific. And I was speaking to an older gentleman. He's in his upper 90s, and met him in a restaurant not too long ago. And he spoke as a seaman there in the Pacific Ocean during the World War II, and he spoke of his lost comrades. These things are fresh upon our hearts. But God calls us to peace. Later on, in chapter 43, he's going to say, it's time to turn your swords into plowshares. It's time to pull you away from the warfare. Now, the words that are used here, the time of forced labor, is interesting. You say, well, what does that have to do with warfare? Is actually talking about conscripted war service here. Okay? And some of yours actually says that. Your time of warfare is over. Or your time of, some version actually says, conscripted service is over. These the people of Israel had been forced into combat by their king. They had been forced into captivity by the enemy. And now God says, it is time for peace. There's a great comfort in knowing the peace that surpasses understanding, that guards your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Where does your comfort come from? The peace that surpasses all understanding comes from one and only one, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. So if you have not turned your life over to the Prince of Peace and allowed him to usher that into your life, go to him today. Give your life to that. If you're looking for some form of deeper understanding of God, know him in his peace. Know him in his kindness. Know him deeply so that you may elevate that in your own life and that you may exude that or pour that out of your life into the lives of others. This COVID season is a perfect time for us to be the hands and feet of peace. And so I ask that you would consider that. What difference does it make to you? It makes all the difference in the world in the way that you live a life of peace among humanity and amongst our neighbors. And finally, we see that we are called to realize that your comfort comes in the great pardon of God for all the sin, all the iniquity, all the failings that we have. He says, you are pardoned. The consequences of your sin, as far as separation from God, it's over. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. The gavel has landed, and the result is God has pardoned you of your sin. If you receive the Prince of Peace into your life, the Prince of Pardon into your life, for he has taken your place. What difference does this make? Well, for those of us who know Christ, it is everything. It is everything. It is the difference between living with purpose and living without purpose. And so the question is clear to me as I read this. What difference does this make? If I were to be living as a person of comfort, living in the comfort of God, and as the hands and feet of comfort to my neighbor, well, it starts with the way we relate to each other, love each other. Yes, there are those who are having great difficulty in this health scare and health issue. And there are those who are having very great issue with the isolation. But it doesn't stop there. The comfort of our world is not relegated simply to what is going on with COVID. This very week, there was a tremendous and terrible wash away in the land of India, Bangladesh. We don't know how many thousands of people lost their lives. Comfort, oh comfort. What role can we play in comforting the souls of those who survive? I ask you this because it makes all the difference when the people of God determine in their hearts to deepen their understanding of God's kindness, to deepen their understanding of God's peace, and to deepen their understanding of God's great pardon. Let us be those people. Father God, this day we ask that we would be people of comfort. And we are guilty, Lord God, of stirring up and putting people down or not being comforting. Lord God, I pray that you would forgive us. The church you united across this world, Lord God, where we have not stepped up and been the people after your heart to bring comfort to each other. Forgive us, O God. Oh, may we know your kindness as it brings us to repentance. Oh, that we may know your peace, Lord God, that it will ease us from our anxieties and fears. And Lord God, may we live in the great grace of your great pardon. We bless you and thank you for the life that is Jesus Christ. And we pray these things in your name and by your power. Amen, church.